remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing his flesh in the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, that might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having it put death to enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Jesus Christ is our peace. And when Jesus came to this earth, he came with a mission of peace to bring and reconcile all mankind to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ, the Father did, as he sent his Son to this earth. But all nations have never been at peace. Families have never been at peace, have they? Communities have not always been at peace. And our own nation has never always been at peace. And there have been people in the world who have sought and tried to mainstream peace within the world at some success, but in times the tide changed and the peace was no longer sought after. It kind of reminds me of back in September of 1938, the British Prime Minister Chamberlain, he returned from conferences from Nazi Germany. And he was certain that he had stopped Adolf Hitler in his domain to try to invade countries and other nations to try to take control. And he said, "Peace in our time, peace with honor." That's what he was thinking when he came back from Nazi Germany after meeting with those people there around the table, and thought he had accomplished a great thing. A year later, Hitler invaded Poland on September the 3rd, 1939, and Great Britain declared war on Germany at that time. Chamberlain, peace mission had failed. What he had sought after so many years, so much time, thought it had accomplished, but Hitler's mind was not of peace, was it? And when he invaded Poland. From 1500 BC to AD 850, there were no less than 7,500 peace treaties agreed upon by various nations. You think about it, 7,500 peace treaties that had been agreed upon by various nations, and most of them were regarded as eternal covenants. And you know, when you make peace, you want it to be eternal covenant. And we think about celebrating our independence on the 4th of July. You know, we need to thank God for the peace that we do experience here in the United States, course, we live in a troublesome nation, not being able to agree hardly on anything. But it is the citizen's responsibility to pray and to seek peace among our own selves within. And I think that's a problem with our nations and countries and so forth. We as individuals don't always have peace. So if we don't have peace, it's not going to go much further than that. And we need to seek peace with the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves in order to see peace within our world. And each one of these who sought the 7,500 peace treaties that were sought after by various nations, each brought hope of lasting peace, but not one of them made it for very long. Not for very long. And we can look at Israel and their enemies to this day, and throughout history, it's recorded. There are no peace until the Prince of Peace comes in person and establishes that peace, and then truly there will be peace when the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, comes. So, there's no real peace between God and man until sin is reconciled out, which is what Jesus came to do. So let's look at, first of all, the source of our reconciliation, which is in verse 13. And it came through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it came. The source of our reconciliation came through Jesus Christ. There's a story about a man and a father who were at odds with each other and had been for many, many years. They'd never talk, wouldn't apologize. And the mother tried every way in the world to bring the two together with none avail. She was on her deathbed, and father and son showed up on either side, not looking at each other. And she was about to draw her last breath. And she had enough energy to take each of their hands and bring them together on her chest. She breathed her last breath and she died. The man and his son, they both wept. They embraced. And they apologized at that moment. And you see, it took a mother. It took someone wanting to bring peace. And she did that at that moment. It's sad, sad. In this world that we don't experience peace as we should. And when Jesus hung on the cross, the only thing separating man from God was sin. And when God poured out his wrath, and that is sin, God had to do that. He laid that day on his, God laid it on his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was, in effect, taking the hand of the sinful man, just like in the story of the man and the son. God took the hand of sinful man and placing it in the hand of a holy God and rested both there on the person of Jesus Christ, and he drew his last breath. He died. See, Jesus Christ is a reconciliation between man and God, the Father. It is so, so precious to hear Jesus says, I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. See, that should be a heartbreaking experience for each one of us to hear Jesus say that. I was willingly, no one took my life, I willingly gave it up. for mankind. You know, we often sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sing that, don't we? And part of it says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. I like that song, don't you? And we sing it every Christmas. But that peace, that part, I hope you will remember from this day. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. It was all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of reconciliation is the blood of Jesus. And then we see the substance of our reconciliation. In verse 14, it talks about that peace. For he is our peace. Verse 14. Now, that's not the peace of God, but it's the peace with God. There's a difference there. Now, there is a peace of God, and we can have that. And we can experience that peace with God when we are reconciled and we accept as a sinner the plea from God the Father saying, accept my Son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then enmity in verse 15, an enmity with hostility between God and man. That's hostility. Or another interpretation of that would be an enemy. At one time, we were all enemies to God until we accepted His Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's the war between God's holiness and man's sinfulness. And you are either God's friend or His enemy, and the difference is whether or not you have received the source of reconciliation. And going back, that's Jesus' blood that's mentioned in verse 13. See, it's whether or not you have received the reconciliation of blood, which leads to the real substance, which is the peace with God. There's nothing better than that. Nothing better than having peace with God. I encounter people day after day after day as I go out in the community or where am I? Ever I'm at, or when they come in to talk, or just to breathe a word of relief from their lives, and I do not experience that peace. They don't have it. But I tell them where they can find it. They can find it with Jesus Christ, because we can find have peace with Christ. He is our peace. See, God doesn't need to be reconciled to man. But the other way, we need to be reconciled. See, we turn our back on Him and we run from Him, and there is that enmity between us and God. See, Jesus went to the cross on a peace mission. That was His purpose of coming to this earth. He was on a mission, and He has given us a mission as well, the Great Commission, to go out. And to do and to follow up and to carry out our responsibility to win others to Christ. See, He set the example. He went out before. Just like John the Baptist said, you know, I'm not Him, but there He is. He's coming. I must decrease so Jesus Christ can increase. And that's how we are in our lives. We need to decrease in order to show people to Christ. See, God signed that treaty when He accepted the sacrifice. In Isaiah 53:10, and when you see the Lord capitalize all capital letters, L-O-R-D, that means God. If it's capital L or small cases after that, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you see it in the Old Testament, all capital letters, it says, but the Lord was pleased, God was pleased to crush Him, that's Jesus, putting Him to the grief, that's Jesus, if He would render Himself as a guilt offering, in which He did. Even Isaiah prophesying years in advance before Jesus was born, was prophesied this Messiah, this one is coming to offer himself as a sacrifice. Aren't you glad that God had a plan? He had a plan. And it started at Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. And then in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. It goes back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God always existed. He always will. In this verse, the Lord was pleased. Jesus was pleased to offer himself. He did it willingly. But you and I have to sign on the dotted line for yourself. I had to sign on the dotted line for myself, asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins and accept him as my personal Savior. Let's say one of you owes another $100 and can't pay it, and you are at odds. And I want to make peace, so I pay it for you. Will you accept it? Will you sign on it? Or will you insist on paying it yourself? See, Jesus paid it for us. See, Jesus paid it in full. But you and I have to sign on, and we have to accept it. And when we stand before him one of these days, and he's going to be our judge, but he's going to be a righteous judge. And we're going to have to agree with everything he says. Everything. Because he's going to be right. He's always right. Reminds me of a man on death row. He was getting ready to be summoned to the electric chair. And he had heard footsteps coming down the hallway. And this man turned the corner where his cell was. And he suspected it, since he was dressed in a suit and tie, such as I and many of you men. And he suspected it to be a preacher. And he said, "I don't want to hear anything you have to say, preacher. You can turn around and leave just the way you came. I don't want you here. But just let me give you a minute of my time. I need to talk to you. This is important." And the man insisted, "I don't care what you have to say. I don't want to hear it. So please leave." The man one more time said, "Please listen to what I have to say. It's very important." And the man ruthlessly said, "Leave now." The man turned and he left. The jailer who was on duty that evening came to the man and said, "You just turned away an important person that wanted to help you." He said, "I didn't need no preacher's help." He said, "That wasn't a preacher. That was the governor of this state. He come to talk to you about a pardon." And you reclined. And you see how sad that is in our world. See, you must believe, you must sign on and accept the pardon God offers. See, he is the source, the blood, the substance that we would receive is at peace. And that man declined. And then thirdly, the settlement for our reconciliation. Unity. In verse 14, it said, in verse 14, who made both groups into one. In verse 15, made the two into one new man. That's what Jesus did. You know, old things have passed, new things have come. If we be in Christ, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in verse 16, it says, one body. When we accept Jesus Christ, and we as a church are one body. We as individuals, one body in Christ. And then it says, because of the Holy Spirit, in verse 18, one spirit. We become in line with Christ as one spirit. See, mankind is made one as we draw closer to Christ. We are closer to one another. And that's what this peace is all about that Christ offers. All generations of people are closer to one another. The closer they are to Jesus. The closer we are to Jesus, the closer we are to one another. The closer a nation is to Jesus, closer they are to other nations. You see the importance of the reconciliation that God provided to us, for us, through Jesus Christ. So important. See, all people are descended from one of three men. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Acts chapter 8, a black Ethiopian was saved. He is a descendant of Ham. In Acts chapter 9, Saul was saved. He is a descendant of Shem. See how this works? We all came from one of these, one of these three men, Shem, Ham, or Japheth. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentile Cornelius was saved, and he was a descendant of Japheth. So when you are irritated with someone or at someone, remember you are related to one of these three men. We are. And we're not above the sons of Uncle Ham. We're not. We're all part of the one race, the human race. And we all are a part of one of these three descendants, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I don't know if you ever realize this or not, as you read and study in the Old Testament. Did you know that Shem was still alive when his great-grandson, Abraham, came to own the scene? He was still alive. The Jews are the sons of Shem. So what about the Arabs or the Muslims? What about those nations? Didn't they come from Ishmael, which is a son of Abraham? Ishmael means renegade, and he was a descendant of Abraham. Descendant of the same Shem. So why can't people get along? Why can't people get along? And it's so important to remember our independence, how we got where we are today. This North and the South coming together, making peace. Aren't you glad they did? Aren't you glad that we are considered a great nation because the North and South came together and now we are called the United States of America? See, that's what Paul is talking about here, reconciliation. Yes, there's wars. Yeah, there's disagreements, there's confusion, there's bickering and all of that. But the end result is the win-win situation is when people and nations and communities and families come together and reconcile, and then you experience that peace. See, that is the nature of sin, the sin nature. But the good news is the ground is level at Calvary. The cross brings us all together. That means husband and wife are made one as they both approach closer to Jesus. They're closer to one another. See, when we're closer to Jesus, we're closer to one another. I want you to think about that this morning. When we're closer to Jesus, we're closer to other people. Even if we don't even know them, we can be closer. We can reconcile. We bring reconciliation between ourselves, to God, to them. social rivalries, enemies, bosses, and employees all are brought closer by drawing closer to the Lord. And in verse 19, aren't you glad that we can be members of the same family? Aren't you glad of that? And it's all through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. See, Christ broke down the wall between which separated us from himself. See, the blood brings peace, it brings reconciliation, and it brings unity to all of our lives through Jesus' blood. May we pray. Our Father God, we thank you today. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the peace that everybody seeks, but they go in the wrong way of trying to accomplish it. Lord, you sealed it. You made it possible for all of us to experience peace. When you went to the cross, you died for our sins. You rose again. Now you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we thank you that we can have that peace, that eternal peace, here even on earth, and experience it perfectly in heaven. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't have peace or not experiencing peace, first of all, we have to have that personal relationship with you. Secondly, as a Christian, if we don't have that peace, Lord, we need to renew our relationship with you. Recommit where we started years ago and bring it up to date. Revise it on your principles. The way that, Lord, that you intended it to be with you. And then we'll be in peace with one another in this world. And Lord, we pray this morning that as you seek our hearts, may we open up to you, give ourselves to you willingly, because you gave up yourself willingly for our sake, that we might experience eternal life. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In your Son's precious name, amen. At this time, we're going to be singing hymn number